Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Honorable, respected, beloved elders, brothers and young ones in Islam. For many days now, on social media, there is what we call the countdown to Ramadan. The number of days that are left for the month of Ramadan. And in the month of Ramadan, we are highly encouraged to have some timetable that should be drawn up before the time, so that we engage in the ibadah of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And undoubtedly, that needs to be done. If it is not done, a matter of urgency, priority. However, today, I want to take this discussion a few steps further for us to heighten our preparation for this beloved month of Ramadan. And then of course we have Laylatul Bara'ah a few days ahead of us. And that also requires much preparation beforehand. And all of this is encompassed in a hadith of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who is there to take from me five advices? There were a few sahaba. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded, I will. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the hand of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and as he mentioned these advices, he counted them on the fingers of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We will not be able to do justice to all the five, but whatever we discuss, inshallah, will be very beneficial for the preparation, not only for the month of Ramadan, but also the preparation for us to meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went on and he said that learn these five advices, take from me these five advices, so that you may practice upon it and teach someone that will practice upon it. The very first of these advices, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Beware, save yourself from that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has deemed as haram. Takun abadan nas, you will become the best of worshippers. Now let us be honest, when we speak about ibadah, and the best of those who make ibadah, how are we going to evaluate who is making the greater ibadah than the other? Is it the number of juz, paras that we recite every day that should be done? But however, this hadith gives us another lesson. Is it someone that performs more nafil salat than somebody else? Is it somebody's sajda that is longer than the sajda of somebody else? Or this hadith gives us a very different aspect of it. That in the terminology of hadith, in the terms of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the person that carries out the best ibadah is the person that keeps away from sin. Allah give us the tawfiq. Friends, in that timetable, let us put some time of reflection. How much am I obeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? How much of disobedience of Allah is in my life? Am I involved in some haram transactions? If so, I need to come out of it. Am I involved in riba, in interest? If so, I need to come out of it. Am I involved in some illicit relationship with somebody? I need to come out of it. The ibadat that we carry out with sins will always be appreciated in the courts of Allah, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. However, that ibadat is like, now we will understand this in Durban, that you have the air condition on and you leave the doors or the windows open. The air condition is like the ibadat, and leaving the doors and the windows open is like the effects of that sins. That aircon is not going to be effective like we would want it to be. That ibadat will be accepted inshallah. However, it will not be effective like we would want it to be tomorrow in the scales of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The very great sahabi, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was asked a very pert, being such a senior sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would recall that he was known as Ra'isul Mufassirin. He was the most learned when it came to the tafsir of the Quran. So somebody asked Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, O Shaykh, tell us, we have two people. One person, kathirul dhunub wa kathirul ibadah. And one person, qalilul dhunub wa qalilul ibadah. Who is better? And who would be better in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? He said, this is not a comparison. It is not a comparison. That person that carries out his fara'id, the person that carries out his wajibat, whatever is fard, whatever is compulsory, he carries out the deeds of the sunan mu'akkada, and then he keeps away from sin, undoubtedly is better than that person that carries out his fard, he carries out his wajibat, he's making dhikrullah, he's making an abundance of tilawat of the Quran, but he is indulging in the disobedience of Allah. Then that person cannot be compared to the first. So friends, Allah give us the tawfiq to try and leave these sins, drop these sins one by one, introspect, look into our lives, and then take advice, how are we going to come out of the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There is one Arabic poetry, just one stanza of it. خَلِّ الظُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا وَذَاكَ التَّقْوَى. You know, in the rundown to Ramadan, we hear this ayah ever so often. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Outlining the objective of fasting. Amongst the objectives of fasting is to inculcate taqwa. What is this taqwa? The poet says, leave major sins and minor sins. وَذَاكَ التُّقَى. That in itself is taqwa. Hasan al-Basri, rahimahumullah, and then we'll find Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahumullah, both of them saying similar when they were asked about who is a person that possesses the quality of taqwa. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz explained, it is not somebody that keeps an abundance of nafil fast and then he makes an abundance of nafil ibadah at night. Not that person. It is that person that keeps away from sin. So friends, on the one hand, there should be an enthusiasm to serve Allah. There should be an enthusiasm to increase our ibadah. But together with that, there needs to be a parallel or even greater determination to start minimizing whatever disobedience. We know our own conditions, let us drop it. Then the second aspect of this poetry, خَلِّ الظُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا. Leave major and minor sins. Today we have this preconceived notion that a minor sin is fine, it is okay. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who used to say, كُلُّ مَا نُهِيَ عَنْ. Everything that Allah has prohibited us from, whether it is haram, whether it is major, whether it is minor, to the extent of dislike, in the eyes of Allah, it is regarded as major. Tabi'een used to say that today you people play around, you toy around with this idea of major and minor sins. A Sahabi had to slip and err, and immediately it will be as though a mountain has sat on his head. There was an incident that is recorded that a student asked his teacher, tell me about this particular sin. Is it a major or a minor sin? An intelligent teacher he was. The teacher responded, my brother, you have a little spark, a little electric spark, and you have a piece of coal. Would you be able to determine which one of the two will gutter the house? How many occasions we've seen it, just a little spark, and not a house, but square kilometers of building had been gutted by one little spark. So we learn from here that major or minor, whatever the act of disobedience be, is definitely going to affect the state of our iman. So if you want this taqwa that the Quran speaks about, then friends, a determined intention needs to be made. I need to leave sin. I need to leave out the disobedience of Allah. In the kitabs of history, there is an incident that has been recorded of a muazzin. Now we all know that the muazzin is an honored person and will be an honored person in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. It is unfortunate we as a community, we don't have that honor for the muazzin as we should have. But be that as it may, this muazzin used to go up in those days up the Minara to give the Adhan. What a meritorious deed. On one occasion, his eyes fell on a woman. And when that happened, his heart went into turmoil. Now that becomes a love story. And this muazzin comes down after that adhan and he goes immediately to that house. Now unfortunately, the house, all the people, that family were Majusi. They were fire worshippers. So he proposes for this girl and the father says, my brother, you are a Muslim, we are fire worshippers, we are Farsi, and we will not move one inch. If you want my daughter, she will not become a Muslim. Allah protect us all. The man decides to leave the deen of Allah. He leaves the deen of Allah. And friends, he walks back, he slips, he trips, and he falls and he leaves this world. Neither did he get the woman, and he left this world in that state of irtidad, leaving the deen of Allah. One sin, one slip. On the contrary, in the kitabs of hadith, there is an incident of a person that used to sell dates, khajur. And on one occasion, he was outside his house selling. A woman comes to purchase. And this man slips. And he says to the woman that I've got better quality dates inside. So come in. And when she comes in, the person slips and he does an unbecoming act that he kisses this woman. But what happens to him? Immediately his heart is in turmoil. Immediately he is remorseful. He is regretful. And the man goes straight to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is the time for salah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam hears the man out. As a matter of fact, in one narration, he meets Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu en route. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes the decision. And he says, my brother, you are remorseful, you are regretful, you've made tawbah to Allah, Allah has forgiven you. But he doesn't take this lightly. And he goes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is time for salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, perform your salah. When he finishes the salah, the man stands up and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, aqimil had alayya. Establish whatever the punishment of Allah is. Whether it is that I need to be stoned to death, which was not the case. Whether I need to be lashed, which was not the case. Do it, Ya Rasulullah. Now Allah Ta'ala revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam the regret, the remorse of this person, and the determination not to carry out the sin again. So Allah Ta'ala revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this person is forgiven. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you performed your salah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has forgiven you. So friends, there could be slips, there could be errors in our lives, but the very important aspect is, there needs to be remorse, there needs to be regret, and turning to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So coming back, ittaqil maharim, takun abadan nas, fear, stay and abstain from those things that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has prohibited us from. And then we will be regarded in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a'badan nas, the greatest of worshippers. That is the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second aspect, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, وَرْضَ بِمَا كَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكْ تَكُنْ أَغْنَ النَّاسِ. Be pleased with what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has ordained for you. Allah says in the Quran, نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each and every person, allotted to each individual whatever is in his taqdeer. We're not going to get more, we're not going to get less. فَإِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَن تَمُوتَ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهَا. No soul is going to leave this world until and unless he has consumed whatever his sustenance was. There is an incident in the time of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that one Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes to the masjid and he sees a Yahud. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu hands over his saddle for safekeeping to this Yahud. When he comes out of the masjid, there is no Yahud, there is no saddle. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu reads, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And he carries on with his normal daily activities. And then he comes to the marketplace and he notices that saddle of his, which was undoubtedly his, and he asks the storekeeper, whose saddle is this? So the storekeeper replies, Fulan Yahud, that certain Yahud, the same Yahudi the Sayyidina Ali had entrusted his saddle with. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked the storekeeper, how much does this person want for his saddle? So the person says, he wants 10 silver coins. Sayyidina Ali smiles, he takes out 10 silver coins, and now he purchases his own saddle. And he says, this is taqdeer. I had, in my mind, I had intended that when I come out of the masjid, these are the same 10 coins I was going to give this man for looking after it. That was his taqdeer. But the way he chose to get his rizq, his sustenance, that was in his hands, whether it was halal or whether it was haram. So friends, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has apportioned for us, and this is again something that we need to work with, something that we need to put an effort with, and this is the ideal time in the month of Ramadan and before the month of Ramadan, that have the full knowledge, have the yaqeen, have the iman, that whatever Allah has placed in my taqdeer, that is to be, that is to come to me. There is no other way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained it, and it will definitely come to me. The other aspect of this part of the hadith, if we look at it with another eye, in another angle, is that many of us do not look at the sustenance Allah has given us, but we often look at what Allah has given others. And that is the very difficulty that we have insofar as our life is concerned, our happiness. This breeds about a lot of jealousy, a lot of hatred that comes into play. And then our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in another hadith has given us excellent advice. As a matter of fact, every advice of his is excellent. He said, in matters of dunya, in matters pertaining to this world, material things, look at those who are lesser fortunate than yourself. If we do that, then we will make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Often we heard the incident of Sheikh Sadi rahimahumullah. He said, I once did not have shoes. And then, of course, it saddens a person. If you do not have any shoes, any footwear, and he walks out barefooted, and then I saw a man without legs. If we can only adopt that. But on the other hand, when it is matters of this dunya, then look at those whom Allah has bestowed greater energy to carry out greater ibadah of Allah. And that in itself will create the enthusiasm for us to follow suit. Now sometimes it is the other way in our lives, that we want to aspire for what others have as far as material world is concerned, and as far as taqwa and piety is concerned, we feel in our hearts we will not make it. Friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most kind, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is most compassionate. So in this few days that we have before the month of Ramadan, let us try and make a definite, determined effort to try and keep away from the disobedience of Allah, try and shortlist the sins that we are committing. When we make this effort, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will begin to open many doors. Our sustenance, whatever Allah has given us, be pleased with that sustenance. Work within the framework of the Shariat and the Deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the tawfiq. Allah ta'ala grant each of us the ability to make this preparation for the month of Ramadan. And may Allah Rabbul Izzat accept whatever we have done. And may Allah give us the tawfiq to continue doing. Brothers, as we are going to stand up for our sunnah, if you can just fill in the gaps in between, this place across, both on the right, the left, and even in the middle, so that those brothers in the back can come in front.